Somebody didn't put this away, so I'll do it myself. Well, anyway, it's good to be back here tonight, and wonderful crowd here. But before I begin, I would like to begin with a story. A year and a half ago, I was rushed to a hospital because I was suffering physical pain, which is called appendicitis. Appendicitis is a serious condition in which the appendix becomes inflamed and painful, and the pain wasn't fun at all. I'm very thankful that I have a mother that was willing to take me 5 miles up north to a hospital. As soon as I got there, the nurses took me in, and they provided good care, and they had to do surgery on me. It was a life-saving act when my mother rushed me to the hospital that night. But it's important to remember that the true life-saver is Jesus Christ the Lord. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Mark. Mark is the second book of the New Testament. It goes Matthew and then Mark. And we will be looking at the last chapter in chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I do have to say, the hospital I went to originally had about more than 20 people waiting. My dad and I were shocked about how many people were waiting. And then here comes Mom to the rescue. She takes me to a better hospital all the way up in 19 in Garfield. You know, and we waited for about 4 hours. But if it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't even be here. And I'm very grateful for what she's done. So Mark chapter 16, if you dare say, I'm with you. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Mark chapter 16, we are preaching on the subject, do you believe or do you believe not, the gospel message. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Father Heaven, we thank you for tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you for sending your son to die on the cross, and so that we could be saved and go to heaven when we die. Lord, your word is true. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Lord, if there's anyone here does not know you as Savior, tonight is the night of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. As we look at the context, the Gospel of Mark has a short account of the resurrection and the ascension of Christ Jesus. Jesus appears to his disciples at the Sea of Galilee. He then rebukes his disciples because Jesus discovered that the disciples had lack of faith and hardness of heart, meaning that the disciples just didn't care when they saw Jesus. Jesus then gives them order to go into all of the world and share the gospel to every creature. Now, let's look back at verse 16. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. As we look at verse 16, you have two choices. You either believe or you don't believe the gospel message of Christ. Notice, first of all, the punishment for the unbeliever. Now, let's look at the definition of punishment. What is punishment? Webster defines punishment any pain, suffering, or loss inflicted on a person because of a crime or offense. Pretend to yourself you are a burglar. You just robbed a bank, and the police catches up to you. He then puts you under arrest and puts you into jail. The police might decide to sentence you into death. Now, let's get into the punishment. What are we seeing? What is the punishment? Read at the end of verse 16. It says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What does that statement mean? It means if we decide to believe not the gospel message of Christ, we cannot find no other way of salvation. Therefore, we will perish and be punished. Romans 6, verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That means we all deserve punishment in hell because we all have sinned against God. Sin is like my appendicitis. If I didn't do anything about the infection, then the infection would have grown. It would have spread throughout the inside of my body. And before I knew it, the infection would have cost me my life. That's what sin is like. It's an infection, but worse. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. If you died tonight, lost without Christ in your life, then you will stand before the great white throne. You will be judged, and you will be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible tells us that the great white throne has books, and one of those books is the book of life. The book of life has names that are written. Those names are shown when someone puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and believe in the gospel. John tells us in Revelation 20, verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You may be here and might not have Christ, but if your name is not in that book, then you are lost and you will be sentenced into the lake of fire. When you stand before the great white throne, you will hear God say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you." God is saying, your works are full of wrongdoings. And when God says the statement, "For I never knew you," he is saying, you do not belong to my family. You were never my child. God will disown you and will cast you into hell. Hell is not a place to party or to have fun. It's a place where lost sinners go. Hell is a place of everlasting torment. There is no peace. Those who don't repent and believe the gospel go there. Isaiah 33 calls hell an everlasting burning. You will face a never-ending fiery burn. And the burn is worse than on earth. And there will be no drop of water. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The pain is irritating, and it is permanent. You could try to escape hell, but there are no exits, no escape routes. There is no way out. You cannot escape. If you die without Christ in your life, then you will die lost in your sins, and your punishment will be in hell for all eternity. Judas Iscariot was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He betrayed Jesus over 30 pieces of silver. The 30 pieces of silver was like the new edition of the iPhone. Ultimately, Judas was so full of misery, and he took his own life by hanging himself. Sadly, Judas was a lost sinner. In today's culture, there are young people and even adults that think about suicide. People would take these desperate measures because they have depression or they just have no hope. But there is hope in Jesus Christ. The rest of Romans 6, verse 23 tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift is heaven, and heaven is forever. The gift is only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Your good works or your church membership will not get you into heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me." That means you cannot get to heaven on your own. So do you believe or do you not believe the gospel message? Now that we saw the punishment for the unbeliever, where hell is a place of everlasting torment, but you don't have to go there. God loves you so much. He loves all of us that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we notice, secondly, the protection for the believer. Now, let's look at the definition of protection. What is protection? Webster defines protection: preservation from loss and injury. When a lifeguard is watching over the pool area, he or she might he or she is watching over patrons that are drowning and in need. He might see a little child that is drowning and in need. He then notices the victim, rescues the victim, and protects him from the risk of drowning. Oh, I remember making my first two rescues. It just happened about a month ago. I was watching over the patrons at the Lazy River, and then right next to me was a mother, and she fell in. She didn't know how to swim. So I'm like, oh, I gotta find my way to get in there. So I jumped in and I got her out of the water. I was like, oh, hallelujah. But then it happened again, but on a different day. I was guarding Lazy River again. And then right at a quick second, I saw a little girl fell in. So I didn't waste time. So I yelled out, I got her. And I jumped in and I helped her out. And I'm like, it was amazing. And it was awesome making my first two rescues as a lifeguard. Now, let's get into the protection. What is the protection? Read at the start of verse 16. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, this is good. That statement means that if we admit that we are a sinner before God and we repent of it, believe in the gospel message, and we become devoted followers for Christ, we shall be saved from the damnation of hell and from the power and bondage of sin. It shall not rule over us, and it shall not ruin us. Romans 10, verse 13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is an act of giving your life to Christ and asking for forgiveness of sins. Whoever calls upon him shall be saved. Now, please hear this. When you ask God to forgive you, there must be true repentance. You have to turn away from your sins and believe the gospel. But understand that we will still sin after the moment of salvation, because as humans on this earth, we are not perfect. What we can use what's called backsliding. I'm not perfect either. I mess up a lot. But it does not mean we will lose our salvation. It is secure. Once you are saved, you will have the great security of heaven when you die. In heaven, there will be no more regrets, no more sorrow, and no more pain. God shall wipe away all tears. There will be peace in heaven. Heaven is a place of everlasting rejoicing and happiness. You will walk on streets of gold. Oh, just think about it. How wonderful, how grateful, and how amazing that God has prepared a place for us. You are promised to see your saved loved ones who have gone before us. I have a grandpa that is in heaven right now, and I know that he is happy and enjoying heaven right now. I also have a mother that is in heaven. The mother that rushed me to the hospital is my earthly mother. My first mother died when I was 4 years old. I don't remember her a lot. I remember seeing her, but I hear that she was a godly woman, wife, and mother. And I'm very grateful that before she died, she put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that she is now in heaven. She is protected from the damnation of hell. And same for my grandpa Conte. So let's look back at verse 16. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, David, what does baptism have to do with salvation? What is baptism? Baptism is an outward expression through an inward experience. It demonstrates your decision to follow Christ rather than the world. Baptism comes after you're saved. There are some religions that baptize babies, and they believe it washes away sins. But baptism has no saving power to wash away sins. It is only by the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. Salvation is not based on baptism and not on our performance. It is by faith. So do you believe or do you not believe the gospel message of Christ? God did not send his son to condemn us. God sent his son to save us from our sins and so that we could have a relationship with him. He did it because he loves us. Jesus lived a sinless and perfect life. He suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. It was my sin, and it was all of our sin that put Jesus on the cross when it should have been me and when it should have been all of us. We all deserved it. But instead, it was Jesus that took our place. It's like he said, I'll take your place. He was buried in a tomb, and he arose from the dead victoriously. So do you believe or do you not believe the gospel message of Christ? What's your decision, lost sinner? Those of you watching by internet, what is your decision? I will also ask, what's your decision, church member? Wait, David? You're telling me that a church member cannot be saved? Oh, yes, they can. Because I used to be an unsaved church member. I went to church for my whole life. And I went to a Christian school for my whole life. And I'm still going there. I have to say, there was a speech class I had to do. And I had to do a devotional speech. You want to know what my thoughts were? I have no desire to do this. Why am I even doing this? And then later during the summer, after school ended, I was mad at God. Won't get much into detail, but after that moment, I just did not care whether if I was saved or not. And then we went to Fort Bluff camp. My goal was, I'm going to run away from God. I'm just going to just avoid him, and he's not going to get me. But I failed. Because Tuesday night really got me. The preacher preached about that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I remember that night. Peter got saved that night, and he was unashamed of it. He was blind. And then I started to have these thoughts in my head saying to me, why art thou ashamed, David? Oh, I felt guilty. And I said to myself, maybe I'm the one that's blind. So I didn't know what to say. The next morning, the teen group and I went to hear somebody's testimony. I didn't remember it a lot, but I remembered the end of it, though. And I said to myself, that's me right there. I'm not saved. I didn't speak out loud, but before my God, I called upon his name. I said to my God, with a repentative heart, I said, I'm sorry for my doubting, God. I'm sorry for all the sin that I've done. Lord, will you please forgive me for all the sins I've done? Lord, I'll do anything for you. Whatever your will is, God, I'll do anything for you. When I gave my heart to Christ that day, he has forgiven me, and I've never been the same again. I will never forget that day. And to think that I wanted to be a preacher of the gospel, I wanted to be a fireman to begin with, but that all changed. I will never forget that. So stand with me with the hymn of the invitation. Here's the invitation, and you hear this a lot. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can repent of your sins and believe the gospel message. That is Christ's death on the cross, that he was buried, and that he was risen from the dead. I promise you, God will save and change your life. If you are going to decide to give save, get it settled tonight. Do not settle it later. Don't settle it when you're going home. You're not promised for tomorrow. You may never know. You can drive home, and you could be in a car accident. And also, don't do it when you're on your deathbed. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Why wait till the day you die? Why wait till you're on your deathbed? Why wait until you have cancer or you're having cardiac arrest. Don't do that. Tonight is the night of salvation. Settle your decision right now before it is eternally too late.
Let's sing a hymn of invitation. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.